I want you to listen to these words from our anthem this morning. It says, "Humbly I ask thee, teach me your will. While you are working, help me be still. Satan is busy, and God is real. So order my steps in your word, to order my steps in your word." May we listen today with new and fresh and attentive ears as we do listen to the word of the Lord. I think we have an announcement for things this morning.
Okay, does anyone know what this represents? Bingo! Give the lady a cookie. Thinking outside the box. That's what we're doing. Thank you, Cindy. Okay, so your outreach committee has been busy. Busy thinking outside the box. Are you sitting down? You may have already seen an advanced copy of the newsletter, but if you have not, we're holding a revival. A revival Presbyterian style. Amen. Okay, so what does that mean? We are going to have a tent in the, on the ground. We're having a tent revival. We'll just have to make do. So, October the 27th, which is a Saturday, the 28th, which is a Sunday, kind of following, 29th and the 30th. Okay, the 28th, the 29th, and the 30th are actually the revival day. We're going to have prayer. We're going to have gospel music. We're going to have a lesson on the roots of gospel music. We are going to make this fun. There will be a light meal beforehand on each day, each evening. Well, Presbyterians. All right, so you're sitting there asking yourselves, how can I get involved? How can I help? I see it on your face. You want to be involved. Well, the first thing is you need to show up. Bring some friends. Bring some people. That's the first thing. The second thing is, are you sitting down? Beginning next Saturday and subsequent Saturdays, after the Saturday morning breakfasts, we are, as a congregation, going to get out in the neighborhood. We're going to get outside our four walls. We're going to get in this neighborhood, and we're going to invite people to our revival. We're going to go two by two, just as Noah would have us do. We're going to go out into the neighborhood. We're going to knock on doors. We're going to say, "Hi, we're from Eastminster. We're having a revival. We would like for you to be there. Do you have prayer requests?" Because we're going to be praying a lot. So that's how you can get involved. You may be asked to do some other things, Nikki. Darlene, where is Darlene? You may be asked to do some other things. But the exciting thing here is that this is our call. God is calling us to get out, to teach, to make disciples, and to spread the good news that Jesus Christ has died for us, raised on the third day. We have eternal life with him. Thank you.
I'd hire the duo anytime. You see that there are other announcements. Take a moment to look at those. But think outside the box. In your own life, in your own mission, in your own ministry, your own calling to be a disciple, not just as a disciple that represents the community. Always be looking, searching, asking what God is to do. This is going to be a wonderful journey. I encourage you to start saying right now, Lord, what do you want me to do to make this happen? Our prayer request this morning, you see in your bulletins, I want to add a few more to that. Betty Clark is doing well, however, as age and our bodies transition, she's having a little more trouble with muscles and moving around, and just ask for our prayer that she will continue to grow strong. Mary West is going to be having gallbladder surgery next week. That's Darlene's daughter-in-law, so keep Mary in your prayers as well. And then some of you know Shirley Garza, some of you do not. Shirley visits with us at breakfast on Saturday morning. She has been coming to Sunday school. She has been coming to fellowship. And last week, she was not feeling well. She was taken by ambulance to Baylor Hospital. We know that she was admitted, so we are hoping that she is getting care. We have not been able to locate her. So if any of you have any connection to Shirley, I have tried, but I'm going to trust that she is in good hands. But I would like for us to offer a prayer for her as she continues on the road to healing wherever she is, and that she will eventually be able to come back and be with us. As we prepare our hearts to worship and to give thanksgiving to God, I ask you to join me in this very short but heartfelt prayer.
Thank you.
These words from the psalmist, Psalm 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Please join me in the confession and receiving God's forgiveness and reading the thanksgiving. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Thank you.
epistle reading for today comes from James chapter 3, verses 13, chapter 4, verse 3, 7, and 8. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, page 213. James continues to look at wisdom, speaking of this gift as something that comes from above and bears good fruits in our lives. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your pleasure. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. This is the epistle reading. Our New Testament reading this morning comes from Mark's Gospel, the 9th chapter, verses 30 through 37, page 45 in your pew Bibles. This is a familiar story to all of us, so familiar, like many of the scriptures that we read, that we might just skip over it. And so I want you to think outside the box. Listen to this with new and with fresh ears. And really listen to what the Lord is saying to you in a new time, in a new day, about what this means. I read this passage this week, and I was telling the Gleaners class this morning that as I was writing the sermon, I was going, blah, 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 blah. Heard this, done this, been there. What's new, Lord? And all of a sudden, I realized that this is that word that never changes, and yet it follows us in every circumstance of life. And no matter how many times we hear it, it has something new to say to us, about us, for us. And so instead of saying, oh great, here we go again, perhaps maybe really here we need to go again. The disciples had a hard time understanding what Jesus was saying. Here we are in 2018, and we're still having a hard time. We understand better, and yet we're not doing what the Lord is asking us to do, and that we hear year after year in Scripture. As we sat there, Vicki Lynn gave me a sermon title, which is not the title that you have in there today, but this one may even be a better one. We get it, but we just don't want to do it. Listen for the word of the Lord. They went on from there and passed through Galilee, the disciples and Jesus. He didn't want anyone to know it, though, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, the Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again. But they didn't understand what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask him. Then they went to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what were you arguing about on the way? But they were silent. For on the way, they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. He sat down and he called the disciples to him, the 12, and said to them, whoever wants to be first must be last and servant of all. And then he took a little child and he put that child among them. And taking that child in his arms, he said, and whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me, welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. Lord, may we hear this with new and fresh ears and eyes and hearts. For this is your word. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Normandy Beach, June 6, 1944. Captain Miller, otherwise known as Tom Hanks, and the members of the 2nd Ranger Battalion fight to secure the beachhead. The loss of life, enormous. Quickly, the story, if you're not familiar with Saving Private Ryan, the story narrows its focus on the death of three brothers killed in action, all from the same family. In a very moving scene, U.S. Army Captain, Chief of Staff George Marshall struggles with this notice that he is going to have to send to the mother of these three boys about their death. But before he can complete that letter, he learns that a fourth son, Private James Ryan, is somewhere in France. The remainder of the movie tracks Captain Miller and a select group from the 2nd Battalion step by step as they seek not to take more lives in this horrible war, but to save the life of one brother, the last son. The steps weren't easy, and they were even fatal for some of those that were in this rescue party. So you can imagine the frustration and, yes, even the anger that these Rangers have when they're trying to locate this young Private Ryan and told that they have to bring him home. I want you to listen to a bit of the conversation. They have found him. He is alive. They are in France. And Private Ryan says, "But these guys deserve to go home as much as I do. They fought just as hard." And Captain Miller replies, "Is that what I'm supposed to tell your mother when she gets another folded American flag?" Private Ryan responds, "You can tell her that when you found me, I was with the only brothers that I had left, and that there was no way I was going to desert them. I think that she will understand." The man that they sought to save was more interested in saving others. In the eyes of the Lord, being first, being best, being the winner, the greatest, is not about thinking of yourself. It is about taking care of others along the way. It is a different road that the world would have us travel. You and I know that the road upon which the Lord is ordering our steps isn't really gravel. It's not grass. It's not a blacktop. It's not a blocked out road. It's not asphalt, and it certainly isn't a gold lined avenue. The road upon which the Lord is ordering our steps comes through Holy Scripture, the Bible, the Word of the Lord, and most importantly, the Word of the Lord made flesh in Jesus Christ. But in all reality, each of us travel roads, real life roads. We go to work, we go to church, we go home. And unfortunately, this weekend, we've had many who had to make big detours to get home. We have had many whose homes are not as they used to be, and for those, we ask the Lord's protection over them. The weather has not been good. Some of us are kind of lead-footed, and we prefer to take the I-65s and the I-30s and the I-35s. Because it's supposed to be faster, I would argue with that most times. Then there are those of us who simply want to take those scenic routes. We want to drive through the neighborhoods and possibly take a quick peek at our phone while we're at a stoplight. Little slower pace. The thing is, however, all of those roads are leading us to somewhere that is important to us for a multitude of reasons. So it was with that road to Capernaum. In today's language, I envision it more as a put the pedal to the metal kind of thoroughfare, where they are powered by mules and donkeys and camels, one where that animal traffic would not make our "Don't Mess with Texas" sign realistic. Can you imagine how smelly those roads had to have been? The road, though, led to exciting places of business and government and culture and trade, but not everybody who was traveling on that road was going to be successful. Not everyone traveling on that road was stepping in the right direction. A lot of the crowds that were cluttering the road, particularly on this day, were ordinary people just like you and me. They were trying to find a place where they could make ends meet, where they could find a job so that they could provide for their families, and maybe a place where they could feel like they had accomplished something worthwhile in life. It's on this road that represents the least, the best, the last, and the first, and all of those who are in between that, that Jesus came with his disciples, teaching them as students. He was trying to reteach them the definition of success, the true meaning of humility, even and especially in this thing that we call greatness. Peter, the disciple whose business was fishing, took a great leap of faith when he threw down his net and left his livelihood and followed Jesus to this Jesus who came from this unknown town, small Nazareth. But as he and all of the other disciples who had said, "Yes, we're going to follow that road with you," as they entered Capernaum, did you notice where Jesus took them? He didn't take them to the Capitol building. He didn't take them downtown to the commerce area. He didn't go to banking. He went to a house. He went to the heart of a family, a home that can be rich with relationship. While on that literal road that they were traveling that led to culture and wealth and power, we hear from Scripture that Jesus heard his disciples bickering, and I imagine kind of like children, and we all know they were trying to decide who was going to be the best, the greatest. Jesus' first words when they step into that house where relationships are built says to them, "What's up, guys? What are y'all doing?" I want to imagine they were embarrassed about all of the bickering, but for whatever reason, they were silent. If you remember, Jesus has been talking about his death. He's been talking about suffering. He's been talking about resurrection, and they're talking about themselves. And it's not the first time either. They always wanted to know who would be Jesus' favorite student. You and I could sit here and call them selfish, and we could criticize them for thinking about all of those personal benefits that they were going to have because they are attached to Christ, who is promising to turn the world upside down, inside out, front to back. But you know what? It still happens today. Talked about it in Sunday school a little bit this morning. Jesus gets connected to all kind of causes that really aren't ordered in the steps of the Lord. But here, Jesus doesn't chastise his disciples. Instead, he goes on and he redefines leadership. Whoever wants to be first has to be last of all and servant of all. In other words, order your steps in my steps. The Word made flesh, even when the world says that you're walking backwards. As humans, we know firsthand that giving up privilege and serving others isn't an easy mandate to follow. The walking in those proverbial footsteps of the Lord, the ones that He has already laid out for us, sure does make that walking a lot easier. The disciples then, the disciples now, could have benefited, and you and I can still benefit from the wisdom of the psalmist and from the frankness of James, who pronounces that traits like bitter envy and selfish ambition get in the way of servanthood. A true servant, James says, shows the wisdom of God by living a genuine Christ-centered heart, not a self-centered heart. Christ-centered leads us to being other-centered, and that is called servanthood. It is called discipleship. It is called making the first last and the last first. Jesus even redefines further this meaning of leadership when He welcomes this child into His presence. We all know the status of children in Jesus' time, and so He seizes this teachable moment. His message is not for the disciples to become childlike, but to become, not to become childish, but to become childlike. To follow in trust. To follow even though you aren't sure where you're going. Jesus is saying be comfortable and actually enjoy the company of all whose station in life are as low as this little one. The Greek word for welcome here is more than just a come and follow me. It's that same word that the angel comes and says to Joseph when he is talking about that intimate relationship that he will have with Mary. He welcomes him into the family of God and says, don't be afraid. Take and receive Mary as your wife. Servant leadership isn't about position. It is about a Christ-like relationship, connection with people. It is about ordering our steps in the Word and then acting upon those words as Jesus made flesh has modeled for us. As the disciples journey today, Jesus welcomes them to come off of the road and into the house, and He says, invite and welcome others along the way. He also says servant leadership is about my strength in your weakness. It is about vulnerability, not force. It is about needing one another and not being independent. I think this could be a commentary not just on us as individual disciples, but maybe even a commentary about the entirety of Christianity in our day. You and I remember the time when there were backsides that filled the pews. We remember the time when we had to build because we needed more space, because children and youth were coming to church. And now we are like the children in our Christianity. We are getting a taste of what it's like to live on the margins. Christianity, discipleship, community of faith are not the first thing on people's mind these days. But before I go into what seems like this negative direction, it is always, always faithful to stop and to stop looking backward and to say thank you to God, particularly here in this place, for all of the opportunities that God has put on the road in front of us in these last few years that have caused us to be community one to another and has increased our relationship with the community around us. We may not look like we did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, but guess what? We still look like God's disciples. We still need to act like God's disciples. We are still Christ's church, and each and every one of us has a calling. And all we are asked to do is to open our hearts up so that the Spirit can use those gifts so that Christ's church in this place we call Eastminster will continue to say, step by step, we're still open for business. Welcome the child, the last, and there you will find greatness. There you and I will find that place where we are intended to be, and that is surrounded by the love, the grace, the mercy, the strength of the Lord. At the end of Saving Private Ryan, Captain Miller is dying. And he pulls Private Ryan close down to him, and he whispers these words, make it work. Make it work. For all of these men who have come, not to destroy lives, but to save your life. For everything that they have been for, make it worth it. Private Ryan has spent the rest of his life wondering if he had indeed lived his life in such a way that he had earned that second chance in life. Saving a life does bring a second chance. Saving a soul brings life everlasting. And in Christ, God did, and God is doing, and God will continue to do that thing. Save us from the cross. Jesus didn't say, earn it. Jesus said, forgive them. And so on this road to everlasting life, you and I have been invited. We have been welcomed step by step to come along each step ordered in God's way and God's will and God's word and most certainly ordered in the word of Jesus Christ, that flesh that came to walk in front of us, behind us, beside us, above us, beneath us, and within us. We invite you to stand as we affirm our faith. As we pray, my prayer that the Spirit will settle upon you gently, that the Spirit will nudge you if you need to be nudged, that the Spirit will help you think outside the box about what discipleship means for you in this day and age, and what discipleship means for this church in this age. All of that hinges on us following and listening to the Word of God. Lord, we come to you first with our joys, with our concerns. We know that a name may appear on a piece of paper. We also know that there are names that are not here. We know that there are names right now that we don't know. But we know, Lord, that they are in need. And so we ask your comfort upon Bobby and Alpha, their family. We ask for answers. We ask for a treatment. We ask for complete healing for Lincoln. We ask, Lord, that Betty will gain that strength that she wants. She can continue to be that ever-present prayer that we all benefit from. We ask, Lord, that wherever she may be, that you are watching over her, that you are giving her the kind of help physically, emotionally, and spiritually that she needs. Lord, for all of our friends in this neighborhood, for all of our friends across the globe who fall into this turmoil of nature, we ask, Lord, that you make us the channels of your peace. You make us the channels of hope. You make us the joy that they need in a situation that seems joyless and hopeless. We pray for this church, Lord. We pray your Spirit's guidance. We pray your Spirit's nudging. We pray that you will teach us to open our hearts and to do what you have asked us to do. We do know what you ask of us, Lord, and yes, sometimes we just don't want to do it. Help us to turn that thinking around. Lord, we ask that you be with our country, with our government. We ask that you be with all who are fighting, whether that be physically or emotionally, but who are fighting for the rights of this country so that we can have the freedom to continue to meet in places of worship and give thanksgiving for all of our blessings. But most of all, Lord, we ask this day that you order our steps, each one of our steps and all of our steps together, so that step by step we are following your way, your will, your word, and your word made flesh in Jesus Christ, who has modeled exactly what we need to be doing step by step. It is in his name that we pray and give thanksgiving for all that you have provided us. Hear us now. Our Father, our hearts and with the words of the psalmist. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and may I never forget all of God's benefits. May we receive God's tithe and our offerings given from a thankful and a grateful and a generous heart.
Please pray with me. You're the generous one, full of mercy and goodness for all your creation. Send your wisdom with these gifts that they may reach those who need your love and welcome. Bring about a harvest of goodness through these gifts sown in peace. Amen.
Make us the channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us bring love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord, and where there is doubt, true trust in you. Make us a channel of your peace. Where there is despair in life, let us bring hope. Where there is sadness, ever joy. O Master, grant that we may never seek too much to be consoled as we are to console, and to understand as to be understood, as to be loved as to love with all of our soul. Make us a channel of your love, for it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, it is in giving of ourselves that we receive, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Also with you.
as forgiven and reconciled people of God, may we share the peace of Christ with one another.